You don't have to have a lot of money to get going. You really don't. And so you get moving, you learn the funnel skills, and you know that it leads to the next thing. And you're leaving behind you breadcrumbs so that you can build a structure behind you. And that's how you grow. And it's the tip of the iceberg in terms of what the real capitalism and I think real entrepreneurship world has to offer. Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for tuning back into the show. And thanks for all of you who've been rating the show. I've been reading what you've been writing on iTunes or can even rate on Spotify. I don't know if you can. I don't know. But I appreciate that like crazy. You know, I want to talk about in this episode another really powerful principle. This has been on my mind. This has been a developing thought that's been consistent on my mind for probably the last 6 weeks. That I don't know why my head kind of works that way. It just does. It's like I'll go back to a repeating idea multiple times throughout a kind of a stretch period of time. And in that, it's almost like you're trying to crack a walnut or whatever, and then finally it cracks. You know, it comes back to it like a little tap on the hammer, back to the same topic. And then it was today, actually, while I was preparing this episode, that all the rest of this stuff started clicking into place. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this makes so much sense why I've been going down the path I have. I want to talk about how you buy your customers, because you have to. You always will purchase your customer. And the first time I heard this is actually one of the reasons I started publishing. I think it was from Russell Brunson. He was like, look, you buy your customer somehow. You're either going to buy him with money, and that's what everyone thinks, right? You got to go spend money on ads. You buy your customer with money. Or if you don't have money, you got to be willing to spend them on, you know, buy them with time. And one of the best ways to do it online is with content. And so I was like, all right, I got to go do a lot more, you know, I got to do a lot of content. And that's one of the reasons I think I started Sales Funnel Radio, because I realized I was so poor at the time when Russell hired me. Like I had like nothing. I rode my bike 4 miles a day to one, I think it was 8 total, 4 miles one way each way to Russell's office, like, because we didn't have money for another car. And it, you know, it actually worked. I started making content and I bought my customer with my time by making content and just talking about my skill set, right? And obviously that's what season one really is. And so I learned more about funnels and I actually could do a funnel without ads because I could control a little bit of traffic, meaning I could buy my customer with my time. And as soon as I had a little bit of cash flow and, you know, got wise enough to, I started buying my customer with money. And money is great because money is faster than time. That's a principle that just launches through my head all the time. Just because you know how to do a task doesn't mean you should. You'll buy your time literally because money is faster than time, right? That's why, I mean, think about how many man hours. We have like 9 dedicated people on our team right now, but like tons of other, like so many other people involved. Like, I don't even know how to tell you how many people are working for us right now already. It's only been 5 months. It's a lot though. We've built quite the incredible machine. It's a beautiful, well-oiled, oh, she's beautiful. It's amazing. But that's a lot of man hours, right? That is both buying our customer with time and, you know, when you do ads with money also. Like it's kind of both, right? Money and time. When you have people working for you, it's leverage. It's a lot of leverage. It's a lot of speed. Way more is getting done today than I could ever hope to get done in a single day. You know, regardless of how much it costs, as long as it pays for itself, you know, who cares? And that's why eventually, like, there's like these evolving knowledge skill sets when you start in funnel land. Like, if you really didn't have like a thing that blew up before coming to funnel land and learning about sales funnels, right? There's like one of the powers you learn with funnels is how to buy your customer. There's a point to all this, so stick with me, okay? But when you learn how to buy your customer, funnels are powerful because they really make you force to answer that question. How am I going to buy my customer? Otherwise, the funnel doesn't work, right? It's either going to be my time or my money, my time or money. But I've noticed that there's like an evolution in business skill sets when someone is born in funnel land. And that's really what I want to talk about in this episode, right? Is that as soon as you can acquire a customer at break even, you're good enough at funnels. You know what I mean? It's not the ending skill set. That's what I'm saying is like people just will keep building the funnel because that's how we want to grow our money. It's like, well, actually, if you just like learn financials, you know, do you know the 3 financial sheets? Do you know there are 3? Most people think there are 2. Do you know what a balance sheet is? If you can't explain what a balance sheet is to somebody else, you don't know what a balance sheet is. You need to know what a balance sheet is. Right? Do you know what a P&L is, profit and loss statement? If you can't explain it to somebody else simply like a third grader, you don't know what a profit and loss statement is. And then the third one is actually called the cash flow, statement of cash flows. The statement of cash flows is very similar, it seems to some, but it's very different. Robert Kiyosaki teaches that one a lot. But anyway, if you can't explain that, then you don't know what it is. And those are important skill sets, right? Understand that funnels is a powerful lead. It's a customer getting mechanism, not a business building mechanism. You still got to learn those skills. And so I feel like the skills of the funnel are, how do you buy a customer with your time or your money, right? It's how do you acquire a customer at break even or better, right? That's really it. And once you know how to do that with a funnel, like, you did it, you know? Unless you're trying to be world class or be a funnel building agency or right? Like, you can build another part of your business now, right? That doesn't stop with the funnel. Now it's time to go start building another part. So learn what financials are. In my mind, that's like the next most important thing. College kind of taught me the opposite. It's like, know your financials. It's like, well, you don't have any cash flow. It's kind of a boring balance sheet. And then you got to go get a loan with it. It's like, ugh. And give up equity for that? Shark Tank's a cool show, but I'm not for that model at all. Right? I'd rather start with funnel skills. How do I sell my thing to the market? How do I prove that it makes money? I hope this is making sense. How do I prove that it makes money? And then once I know how to make the money, it's like, all right, I can acquire a customer for break even or better. I'm buying my customer with time and money, right? Directed at the funnel. Sweet. I got a marketing and sales engine that doesn't need me. Who wouldn't want that? What business wouldn't want that? But it's not a business skill. I know I talked about this a lot in another episode, but like, this idea has really morphed into something else. It blew my freaking mind when I realized this. And these are all skill sets that I kind of have just gleaned, because a lot of people ask, like, Steve, what do you study? What do you learn? And I'll tell you guys, like, I really don't study marketing that much. I went through my immersion phase, you know, I'd say probably the year prior working for ClickFunnels and the year into working for ClickFunnels was a deep, deep, deep immersion phase. But I mean, I really have not even read most of the marketing classics. I haven't. My education comes more from the field, right? Which is why I have my own formulas, because I'm like, look, I have trialed and erred this to death. I know what works and what doesn't, right? And so that's all to say, there's more skills, right? And a lot of them come from just whatever you need in the moment. I find that too often people will, they're like, I got to learn everything I need to know before I can take action. Guys, what I'm teaching you right now, there's a part coming up. I just realized. You know what I mean? You don't need to know it all. You don't. You can get an F in effort and make A-level cash, because most people aren't even going to get an F. Most people don't even try. They really don't. They plan to. They hope to. I'm gonna. Here it comes. I'm hoping one day. I love the dream up. But they never actually launch, right? It's like the movie Failure to Launch, right? So, but there's these skill sets, and you pick them up along the way. And these skill sets, like, it's the knowledge tree. Right, it's the knowledge tree, and this knowledge tree that I'm thinking of is like, hey, look, you learn these funnel skill sets. I know how to buy a customer, time and money at break even. Then I learn financials, and these financials that I'm learning are ways to measure the health of the company. You don't measure the health of the company really with lead flow. That's just a marketing metric. You don't, right? Not in terms of like what the rest of the whole world says is enterprise value and business value. You measure it with a statement of cash flows. You measure it with a balance sheet. You measure it with a P&L. Then you look at the marketing stuff. There's no reason to look at the marketing stuff if those three financial sheets suck, right? And so learn the marketing skills, but when you're like, I don't want to say when you're done, you're never done. When it's good enough to move on is when you know how to buy someone at break even, time or money, and it's not you. That's the funnel, right? It's not you. Then you get to go learn the next set of business skills, because it doesn't end there. You go and you start learning what the financial sheets are. You start learning how to measure the health of the company. And my next belief after that in the knowledge tree, the knowledge tree of, with funnels being the trailhead, if you will, at the very beginning of the trail, you start with funnels, you get that down. Next one down in my financials. The one after that, in my opinion, is really like the internal systems fulfillment supply chain problem. It's how do you build like a team? Like a structure, like processes and SOPs, right? That stuff. And I'm not saying each of these skills got to take you like 4 years to go through. Just, this is also like an order of thought and how to like measure a company, in my opinion. You can see where I'm going with this. All right. Let's follow me here. And these are this is like really interesting. I think about this crap all the time. I don't know why. It's the way I'm wired. I've been told by a lot of people that I'm the weirdo that goes up on the mountain and comes down with two tablets of new stuff. And that's just what I do. And that's my skill set for some reason. And so I noodle on things that seem obvious and I like, ooh, let's bring clarity to there. It's part of my gift. So I noodle on this stuff a lot. So all right, funnels at their trailhead of the knowledge tree. Right. Then we go financials. Next one's like the supply chain mixed with internal processes problem. Once you got that down and you're not in the machine, you're not the business, it runs on its own. You literally could go take off 3 months vacation and not worry. Right. That's a business, a real one. That's a company. Hey, once you got that down, I think the next one beyond that, and this is where I've been really like mulling a lot. The next one is, and this is going to blow your mind. All right. Think about this. Just stick with me, everybody. I know this is a thick episode and I'm only 10 minutes in. I would typically set this one up quite a while with a lot of story and squish it in with there with some good fluffy stories. All right. But stick with me here. Okay. The next one, after you are a real CEO with systems, financials, marketing, it's automated. You are at the top. You got a weekly meeting and bam, you're out. When you're in that kind of setting, right? This is kind of like the road you walk down. I believe the next one after that is mergers and acquisitions. And mergers and acquisitions is something I first learned about in college. Funny, I just didn't know it was called mergers and acquisitions. I knew obviously that people would buy companies. I knew that, you know, I just didn't know it was called mergers and acquisitions or M&A, if you've ever heard that term. And I just didn't know. And same with, I didn't even know entrepreneurship was entrepreneurship until someone told me. I knew someone sold a product. I didn't know it was called entrepreneurship until probably high school. It shows you that you can just learn on the path. But I think it's the M&A space. It's mergers and acquisitions. It's how you now become enterprise value, how you become very valuable as a company so that if you wanted to sell, you could sell. And for a while, I thought selling was not a good option. That's like, you're abandoning your thing. That's true at all. That's crazy. If your goal is to go and sell a company, more power to you. Funnels are going to make you lethal. You have control over how a customer gets acquired. Who doesn't want that, right? Oh my gosh, this is part of where my head's come, all right? This is part of where my head is going. And I'm like, man. So this mergers and acquisition space has blown my mind. I had no idea that it would go all the way back to how you acquire a customer. Guys, I'm in a really interesting spot. I have a few legacy products that I just have left up from my old company. I'm not going to get rid of them. They're my core formulas, right? It's like the core curriculum. It is how I think, the framework of my funnels, the framework of how I launch, and the framework of how I create an offer, entrepreneurship. All right. Those are my core formulas. I'm never going to get rid of that. Those are my gold. I farmed those out of stone, right? I'll never get rid of them. But they're also not my focus. I build this company with YouTube Lead Machine, with Marley Jacks, right? And we're building this, and it's amazing. And we don't have a single client right now in our Done For You service that isn't getting results. It's amazing. It's so powerful. But I'm in an interesting spot where I have these legacy products and Marley and I created a leads company. Holy crap. Mergers and acquisitions involves how you buy a customer. So if I can buy my customer, so stick with me. All right. I really wish I should probably just do this YouTube video so I can draw this out because I drew it out and I was like, holy smokes. When I'm buying a customer, all right, I can buy with my time or my money. It goes all the way back to this. Okay. I am realizing that I can build my dream customer. Guys, I am making a few of my legacy products customers of YouTube Lead Machine. There's enough cash flow in them still that, funny enough, the very company that Marley and I just built is now going to go back and start just turning on a lead source to my three legacy products I'll never delete or my soul will die, right? They're my gift to the marketing world. They're how I do everything in those roles, right? Internet Launch Secrets and Sales Funnel Officer. Those are the two courses. Bam, there it is. Right, those two courses are everything I've learned from funnels and how to do them and all the roles and my formulas. And there we go. And the $11 million to prove it, you know, and it's anyway, so I'll never get rid of them, but I'm just making, I went back to, quote unquote, went back to my old business. And I was like, holy smokes, if I just press that button, this button here, and turn on that lead engine, I could quote unquote hire the company Marley and I just built as a customer. Put someone else as the attractive characters on it. We got a lead source, ladies and gentlemen. We got funnels. We got people getting, you know, you're going to start watching me do that. That's the only reason why. Someone reached out. They're like, knowing Steve, he's going to have something else in like 6 months. You know what? I might. But it will not be without ridiculous thought. I do not want to launch a lot of stuff. I want simplicity, which is very much the opposite of season one. Season two is all about being so automated that they can't even tell that the ghost is in the machine. The ghost is me, but I'm not even really in it, right? Everything is so, that's what season two is very heavily focused on, is business building skill sets. Funny enough, in the knowledge tree, I was just talking about, right? Funnels, think season one. What am I focusing on right now? Financials and internal business structure. You could call that season two. And like, holy crap, I see where it's going. M&A is next. That's what I mean. Like, if it would be something else 6 months, it'd be because we'd be buying companies. But what we are doing is I'm realizing I can go back to our old stuff and I've actually created some of the solution that my old company needed. Marley and I have built a lead controlling source and we're just clicking on some of my info stuff that, I mean, holy smokes, they are awesome, awesome, awesome offers. Awesome. My best education pieces I've ever created ever. Feeling completely like I'm channeling when I'm on stage kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like total flow. Weeks and months of preparation. You know, all the stuff that I've put on those courses, I have gone through so much stuff to find. I don't know, like you have to work for Russell Brunson also to find them. And on that backdrop, then. Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go hire, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode. Go leave your job, then go through 55 more successes. All previously having gone through 34 failures. I mean, holy smokes. Like the amount of stuff that is in those courses, that's why I won't get rid of them. And if you guys see me out there and I'm like, hey, look, here's BTS Funnels. Here's Internet Launch Secrets, right? BTS Funnels has Sales Funnel Officer in it. Right. And then the other one is Modern Downline. Those are the three. Boom. Right there. Those three things right there. Those are like my gifts. But what's funny is I have been able to go in and hire the very company Marley and I just built as those companies' lead source. Full price. We built our dream customer. That's nuts, man. So even though we're not in the M&A space yet, that was a merger basically, right? I own both of them, right? Marley and I, together, we own the YouTube Lead Machine. I own the other companies, of course. And I just hired YouTube Lead Machine to seriously, like, they will lose us as a customer if they don't perform, just like everyone else. Does that make sense? So I put another company in charge of lead flow, leads and closing, baby. Isn't that, that's crazy. And this is the next piece of evolution. And so if I can buy my customer with time, if I can buy my customer with money, right? I just gave an example of how I could build my customer with time, spend a little more time, build my dream customer. Well, what's the other way to think about how I could buy my dream customer? Oh my gosh, I could literally buy a company. So one of the things Marley and I have begun looking at is how we can buy our dream customers. Who are the people that we know we can explode, who would want to sell their company to us? And we would go in, patch up their funnels, patch up their marketing. This is just an idea. I'm not pitching anybody. This is not an official offer. Just look where I'm going with it, though. Think about what that means for you. That does not expand how you control. If funnel skills is really what makes you so lethal in the marketplace, it's not just used on the product level. It's used on the freaking business level. You can build your dream customer. You can buy a whole company as a dream customer. And this blew my mind because I always thought mergers and acquisitions was primarily like in supply chain. The best things to go do is to go, you know, if I'm McDonald's, I'm going to go buy the wheat company that makes the buns for the hamburgers, right? I'm going to go try and buy the farms. I'm going to own the farms that supply the meat for the hamburgers, if it is meat. I don't think it's really meat. I don't know. You see what I'm saying? I always thought mergers and acquisitions was down the silo in the vertical of supply chain. You purchase your supply chain, and that way you have no cost to fulfill. And they brought their own book of business with them. Win, win, win all the way around, right? Well, I never considered that you could also acquire your marketing vertical. It's not just supply chain vertical. I could go buy my dream customers, much like I could buy the farm that supplies the wheat. Does that make sense? That blows my mind, right? That blows my mind. And so it made me realize, holy smokes, you could buy every vertical of business. Learning how to acquire a customer using your time or your money is one of the most fundamental skill sets that goes way past funnels. So this was probably one of the thickest, meatiest episodes I have or may ever. Well, I'm not going to promise that. This super thick. I understand. If you got to listen to this multiple times, that's totally cool. That's totally cool. Like, but let me just recap in like two sentences here, okay? The quick and dirty. Here we go. The knowledge tree. Start with funnel skills because you got to learn how to acquire a customer with your time or your money. Once you actually know how to buy a customer at break even, go learn financials. Learn what the financial sheets are. If you don't know what they are, you have no idea how to measure the health of your business. And funnels are not a company. They're just a way to fuel a company, right? Which leads to the next. Once you know what financial sheets are and you're making more money than you're spending, you're right. So the funnel is acquiring at break even, but then the business is break even and not losing money. And you're paying yourself a reasonable salary, right? You're going to continue to learn more supply chain, internal processes. And those skill sets right there might all be kind of done at the same time. It's kind of hard to get health on your financials and not build your internal processes at the same time. But once you're kind of past those skill sets and you are an actual, real, legitimate, true CEO, you got an assistant, you're probably outsourcing your finances to a CPA firm, right? Right. You're a real thing. Not right. You can still do it off your couch. You don't have to have some massive office. I'm not talking about you got to like raise your expenses, but you know what I'm talking about? You're a real thing at that point. The mergers and acquisition space in the knowledge tree is kind of one of the most natural places to go. And funny enough, ties all the way back to the skill sets of how you acquire a customer. But instead of acquiring a customer, you're acquiring a company and you're still buying, right? A company. And that's how you're acquiring things in your supply chain or things in your marketing chain, right? Or you are building your dream customer in your supply chain or in your marketing chain. That blows my mind. I have never thought of it that way. And the pattern is just continuing to unfold. And I'm seeing this vision and I'm like, holy smokes. That's where this funnel map leads to. That's where it goes. And that's if you continue down the path. But I also bring this up because if you've been like really pounding your head on the pavement with this whole funnel game and you're like, I just don't get it. Why am I not exploding yet? Realize the goal may not be, ooh, I'm trying to make $1 million in a funnel. Yeah, do that. But it's like the very tip of the iceberg. I'm not trying to stress anyone out. I actually hope that what it does is put the skill set of funnels in perspective and drop the pressure to know that you don't have to be A level at funnels to still win at business because they're different things. they're different things. Business skill sets are different than funnel skill sets. They go hand in hand. You got to have both. Salt and pepper, yin and yang, like they're together, but they are different. You can still win at business and be at funnels, kind of not amazing. And that this whole reason is why. And these funnel skill sets go the whole distance, the whole way. What you learn here makes you absolutely lethal and vital. I mean, I got a marketing degree. I went to business, right? That's what I went to school for. I didn't learn any of this stuff in business. This has all been trial and error of my own experience along the way and the things I've been learning. And just you remember when you first learned how to count in like elementary school? And then, long division. And then you start learning super long math. And you're doing it all by hand. And then remember the day when they're like, hey, we just wanted y'all to know that there's this thing called a calculator. And you're like, what the heck? Why did you just start that from the beginning, right? Just give that to me now. I had to go learn all that to use that. And then I remember a teacher telling us, because everyone was like, are you kidding me? She's like, but you understand, we had you do that. So now you understand what the machine's doing. You're not dependent on it anymore. You can think for yourself. Like, it is vital that you know both. A lot of what you're doing in funnel land, if you've been like really struggling in funnel land, is you're learning long division by hand, right? You're learning how to do it. So that when you get to, and the bar isn't just insane levels of money, like coming straight funnel site, which is great. It's super good, but it's to use it in its real business function, which is to build a real company. And you can win in business, even if you're in funnels, which is why you can outsource it, by the way. That's why you can go hire someone to do funnels, is because you can still be a businessman or woman, right? You still can be a business person. And have someone else be responsible for the funnel functions and bar and metric of what it is it's supposed to provide for your company. Much like I am going and saying, you know what? I'm going to outsource this responsibility of lead flow to the company Marley and I just built for these other things. You can outsource the funnel. And this collaborative approach to capitalism is so interesting because it's a little bit different than what I have been marching to the beat of, which is very much like learn everything, do everything, be amazing at everything, know all of it all the time. You know what I'm saying? And we have tendencies to do that when we are born in funnel land, where I don't know how to be a CPA. Why would I hire a CPA firm? I can go do it. I'll just go learn that. Blah, give it to me. Right. And then you go, I'm guilty of all of it. All right. I do all of it. That's the reason I can call it out. It's because I see it. I've done it. That's why I can smell it. All right. Been there, done that. All right. I get it. I love learning. I'm obsessed. I'm extremely curious by nature, and I will never let that die in me. Right? So I want to know everything about everything and experience everything all the time at once. It's also because I'm a 7 on the Enneagram. Okay. I just am very playful by nature. I'm curious. I want to know what everything is like. I want to experience everything in this life at once. Right? That's just how I am wired. And so don't shy away from the fact if you're like, ooh, I'm going to put an undue weight on what I need to know to win at this. Or, ooh, look at it a larger whole. And it kind of lets you assign and compartmentalize where things need to fit in the bars and metrics and realize you can outsource it. You can find someone. And if you're like, I don't have any money, you can buy with your time that arrangement with that person. I bartered my way like crazy. I totally paid out agencies on net 30 terms, right? They would go build a funnel for me. I would go and I would launch the thing. And then the money that came from it, I would just pay off the funnel team on net 30 terms. Hey, yeah, you get paid 30 days after you deliver. So I would just be smart about when they would deliver. Bam. Right? You don't have to have a lot of money to get going. You really don't. You just don't. And so you get moving, you learn the funnel skills, and you know that it leads to the next thing. And you're leaving behind you breadcrumbs so that you can build a structure behind you. And that's how you grow. And it's the tip of the iceberg in terms of what the real capitalism and I think real entrepreneurship world has to offer. And it's fun that was big for me to realize. And you got to understand, I was born in the funnel space. And I'm like, where do I go next? All right. That's been on my mind. And it's not, to, I'm not being conceited, but I'm pretty good at funnels. I know how to do a good funnel. I know how to do a great launch. I helped so many people. And I'm like, where do I go next? Part of what I've been trying to figure out. And I've been drawing my fulfillment like a funnel. Like I talked about in the last episode, I've been doing the very things I'm teaching you guys. I'm documenting my own journey. But part of where my next question has been is, sniff, sniff, is it M&A? I think it is. And so I'm just learning. And so if you see me doing more stuff, it has nothing to do with me being unfocused, right? Yes, there's things that I'm just excited about. We're doing our NFT. It's going to be awesome. But I kind of believe it's like a necessary skill set coming up. Do you see how many companies are imploring them now? Like, it's almost like saying computers aren't going to be a thing anymore, right? Like, I think 1993, I saw an article that came out once that was like, the internet fad is on its way out. The internet is on its way out, right? It's a little like saying that, like NFT is here, right? Crypto, it's here. You're going to learn it, you're going to not. Like, I'm going to learn it, so I'm going to learn it, right? You're going to see me launch NFT. It's not out of like some like, ooh, shiny object, right? I'm very, very strategic on our moves now. And it's part of a much larger whole. And I'm trying to give a lens into what is going on in my head. And if this is a thick episode, all right, very thick. But this is what's been going on in my head. I'm like, where do I go next? Where does my personal growth get its most benefit? I think it's M&A. But not at the detriment of the things that I've built, nor the clients or customers that have bought from us, right? It actually has been quite the opposite because I've been doing a lot of systems building. I mean, holy smokes, lots. It's been so fun. I had no idea how much of a knack I had for that stuff in terms of internal processes that just make, you're literally designing customer happiness. It's amazing. It's amazing. Doesn't have to live in my head. Doesn't have to live in my head. You know what I'm saying? Not that funnels never did, but you know, we didn't do a lot of designing on the internal stuff. We did in terms of business planning. All right, let's have a meeting here, meeting there, not business structure, right? Not internal processes. And so where I've been looking as we've been building stuff is where does Steve Larson go next? Where's the learning curve go next? And I know the model now. It's join the top mastermind in that skill set as fast as you can. Find like two or three people who are the infopreneurs who are publishing like crazy and just buy their top thing and their book. Learn all of it. Done. There's your immersion phase. You're immediately tied into the top information, the top groups, and you have so many peers immediately around you that you can ask questions to your, because you're in a mastermind. And so people know you're serious and everyone knows there's a mutual respect because you're not just, can I pick your brain? I hate that. I've worked hard for where I am, right? So instead, buy the mastermind I'm in, right? Or go to, does that make sense? Like, and so I know the model. I know I've been through this enough now. I found the calculator on a few of these things, not all of it. I'm not saying I like freaking nailed it, but I'm like, ooh, these are some real strong skill sets. And suddenly I'm like, you know what? $100 million is seeming not just possible, but very probable. That's why I made season two. I'm like, I know I've been a little quiet prior to season two for a little while. Papa Bear's been learning. I've been learning a lot and trying to get the larger picture of where to go to win. And I got a healthy competitive streak in me. And been doing a lot of self-discovery and healing. So here we go. The juice is back. The wind is in my sails, baby. All right, but I'm going to do it so different than round one. And in some of them, I found the calculator. So anyway, that's where I'm going with this. Gosh, that was a thick episode. And I tried to end that like four times, but this has just been a developing thought and wanted you guys to know the backstory on it. Okay. Whew. If you want to leave a review after that, that'd be awesome. Appreciate it. And if you want to go see what we are doing in the NFT space, it's pretty cool. It's not to the, I don't believe in leaving your product to go start an NFT. It's how you use an NFT in your business. And that we're just going to do a little free, it's a free 5-day challenge with Jeffrey Bannick and I, and we're just going to walk through, here's what a wallet is. You know, if you really have never done this stuff before and you just want to step by step, we're just going to be on Zoom and be like, hey, everyone do this. Okay, now do this. Okay, now do this. All right, here's how to look for scams. All right, here's what scams look like. All right, now let's get to the actual business strategy. Okay, like, here we go. So you have a product, here's what NFT is, here's how to combine the two of them and actually increase the value of what you deliver to the customer and their a receipt to them. That's what NFTs are. They're just a receipt with some seriously amazing buyback that protects you and lets them get their money back. Oh, baby. Anyway, go to buyyourfirstnft.com. It'll be free. And at the time I'm recording this, we're going to be doing the first one, I think, on July 4th. So buyyourfirstnft.com, free, meant for people who are, have a product and want to learn the combination of the two, not the distraction from one to the other. Awesome, guys. We'll see you later and see you at buyyourfirstnft.com. Bye. NFT, crypto, DeFi, it's obviously all here to stay. And the tech adoption rate for this whole thing has been faster than the actual internet's adoption rate in the mid-90s, which is crazy. And there's actually a lot of billionaires that have moved a lot of their funds to crypto because it's like a stable asset for them now. It's mind-blowing. So how do entrepreneurs use this? Number one, don't abandon your business, okay? We've been using NFTs as community builders and product builders, and we want to show you guys how to do it. If you want to learn how NFTs fit naturally into your internet business, just write in. Go to buyyourfirstnft.com. That is literally the domain. And it's a free 5-day challenge. We're not talking about pixelated weird animals wearing rainbow crowns, which I think is really weird. And that's just how NFTs have been used, but that's not how we use them. There's an insane BizOp right inside your own list and customer base, and we'll show you guys how to bolt that right into your business for free at buyyourfirstnft.com. Again, it's a step-by-step guide on how to set everything up and simplify all the tech stuff if you've never done this before. And those of you who have, we'll show you guys some pretty powerful how to bolt NFT to anything magic. So go over to buyyourfirstnft.com and take the free 5-day challenge now.